Blog Talk Radio.
You know what you want. Do it. Good. Do it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Applewhite coming to you from Arizona, and this is the Student to Teacher radio talk show on the internet, and I'm so happy to be here this morning, always happy to see that there's so many listeners out there that are excited about what we discuss on the show, all the students that come on, all the student veterans. Those are veterans that are going to school and trying to make it in this life, in the civilian life, and all kinds of parents and employers and counselors that come on, teachers, that come on the radio show and discuss different topics, a lot of topics that affect us psychologically and socially, emotionally, and cause challenges for many of our adult learners. Adult learners being adult students that are struggling to balance out work and school and pressure from families and raising families. And it just gets so tremendous, and especially if they're challenged by a disability, a mental or learning disability or a physical disability, and they're still able to roll up their sleeves and overcome those challenges and do spectacular things in this lifetime. Yes, we have some wonderful success stories that come on and off of our show from time to time. I encourage you to look back in our archives for those of you who have access to a computer and look at some of the shows that we've done and definitely click on them and hear them again, because there's some vital information on there, on those shows about some of the issues that are facing students. See, students discuss a lot of things that are related to why they drop out and have such stress and anxiety about trying to succeed. And many of us have unfortunately looked at adult learners or people who have tried so hard to roll up their sleeves and get to work, and some challenges with either dropping out or burning out of school. And what we do is we unfortunately lazy or not able to hold down a job or weird or crazy or whatever. And we hope that by promoting the Student to Teacher show, and when I say promoting it, White Apple Institute is the sponsor, the promoter for the Student to Teacher radio show. And we hope that somehow the message will become clearer to others that there are a lot of issues that we need to look at. And today, we're going to discuss some of the issues that are affecting, believe it or not, negatively affecting students of color, especially African-American students. You see, our students lately have been discussing racism. And why has that been such a hot topic? I mean, it has been before. If you look back on some of our shows, in the past, we've addressed racism and discrimination very heavily because that does affect students in school and at work. But this is a little different this time. I think that because of the Trayvon Martin murder trial and George Zimmerman, the accused gunman, was the verdict allowed him to go free without any repercussions, not even a slap on the hand. I think that because of that, we are dealing with racism in our face right now. And there's a lot of anxiety and stress that's associated with racism. Now, I say that as a professor of psychology and my studies in this area, but I also say this as a woman who is an African-American. And I'm a veteran, I'm a disabled veteran, and I have seen many, many things throughout my career that validate or prove that racism not only exists, but it actually affects students in their performance. Wow. That's a mouthful, huh? Yes, it does. It really affects students. Especially our African-American students. And I think the reason why is because when we look at minority groups as a whole, we see that there are more reported counts of racism in relationship to African-Americans than any other minority group. Second in line would be Latinos. Latinos from Mexico or Puerto Rico, Cuba. There's a lot of different ethnic groups involved in that umbrella, just like in the umbrella of African, that have been unfortunately discriminated against because of their color. Now, I have some interesting things to share with you about that because this show, as we always try to do, is bring optimism into the picture, staying positive about the future of our humanity. We are not giving up on the student-to-teacher show. We're not giving up at White Apple Institute. We're believing that change is happening, and that the change that is happening is going to bring us into a better light. We believe that humanity has progress. And in this area of racism, we believe that in the United States of America, we are, believe it or not, the leading force in healing racism. Now, with all due respect to President Obama's speech that 35 years ago he could have been Trayvon Martin, the young 17-year-old man, young man that was killed, shot dead by George Zimmerman, he could have been that person. Yes, that is true. It is true that there are many 17-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 25-year-olds that are out there that have been unfortunately shot and killed also, many times associated with racism. Most racism as resulted in poverty conditions, unemployment, and so it has become to some a never-ending cycle. But there is change that is happening. And I wanted to focus a little bit on the change, on the positive nature of what we're doing in this country, especially. Now, hold on, friends. I'm going to say something to you that might shock some of you. Especially in the United States of America. Because in comparison to the world, We are the leading, the leading nation in healing racism. Now, let's chew on that for a minute. When you look at the Middle East, when you look at even Japan, and some of the leading countries out there, economically speaking, you will find extreme racism, and you will not find, get this, you will not find anything called affirmative action. You will not find it. It doesn't exist outside of the United States. Maybe some parts of Western Europe, you may find some form of affirmative action. But bottom line, my friends, the United States of America is a leading force in healing from the stressors of racism, healing from the past traumas, especially those imposed on African Americans in this country. Yes. It is anticipated that our discussion will encourage teachers and counselors and all those that are working with students out there, that you will explore the psychological impact of racism when you're working with some African American students and Latino students, and anyone just becoming sensitive of the fact that racism exists and racism causes fear and anxiety. And I'm going to show you today, we're going to share today, that I'm not going to get into a real technical issue on the studies that I've looked at, but I want to share with you that there are actual studies, research out there that validates, proves that the stress of racism causes mental health problems. Yes, it does. It leads to stress, it leads to trauma. It leads to physical health issues that I'll get into in a little bit. Yes. Well, the media has placed a lot of attention on this George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin murder trial. And there are so many broken hearts all over the world. Yes. The people that do care. People that have a sense of humanity who are not racist. Yes, the continued political and media hype is shining a lot of light on the statistics that are associated with the unemployment rates and the education rates and the poverty of African American males. But just for a moment, I want all of you to just come with me to another place in your minds. I want you to see how far African Americans have come also. So, yes, we have a long way to go, absolutely. But we have come a long way, baby. We have come a long way. The statistics are relevant. The proof is in the pudding that racism exists. But it's necessary, absolutely critical, that we shine light on the progress of African Americans and how many people really do get along regardless of race in this country and other parts of the world. We need to bring in more positive light into all of the strivings, the challenges that have overcome, the work, the effort of those who have gone out and fought for the civil rights of all human beings. God bless Martin Luther King Jr. God bless Gandhi. God bless all of the people that have followed him. God bless the work of Jesus Christ, who has come to show us what love truly is. And thankful for the scripture of God loved the world so much, the world, that means everyone in the world, so much that he gave his only begotten son. So if we focus on those positive things, and even, and I've got to add this in, as a veteran, I've got to add this in, and I hope that other veterans join on the show today, to speak about how even the military, overall, the military has even progressed in the area of racism. That's right, my friends. If you look back on even some of the movies that have been made and the movies today and the fact that, and the news, the actual news, that shows the progress of African Americans. You know, we've come a long way from where there were pilots that were called the Red Tails and were discriminated against. We've come a long way from that scenario to where we are now. And I know many people are saying, when they look at the media hype and political hype out there, that on the other side, we have an African-American president. What's the problem? Where's the racism? The racism still exists. It's there. Like I said earlier, the statistics are relevant. So why are we avoiding the discussions? We have to address these issues. But in the same voice, I am saying, and I stand my ground on this, that we have to also shed light on the progress that we've made from a humanitarian standpoint to include people of all races in this quest that we have to be involved with humanity. So I encourage the students out there, all of them at all levels, I encourage parents to talk to their student, talk to their children about the progress that has been made and the people that have fought, white, black, indifferent. The progress that we've made, and we'll do shows on this later, that students have discussed the progress of people who are in the homosexuality, bisexual, transgender groups, and the openness that this country, this America, has shown to be, to strive for the inclusiveness of all people. We cannot forget that. We have some callers online, and we want to make sure that we acknowledge them. I'm hoping that Dr. Beverly Johnson will join us this morning from, she's a retired ASU professor. Let's see if she's online this morning. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Hi, Dr. Applewhite.
Hi.
I'm very happy to hear your opening comments, deep wisdom. And I always remember what your father, E.C. Applewhite, said. I'm able to express my desires to love and treat everyone with equal love. And
yes.
I did teach cultural diversity in the world and cultural diversity in the United States for many years at ASU Polytech, and I wanted all the students to learn to fall in love with the family of life, especially now when we know that over the past decade we've had more immigration, and it's increased the diversity in the United States, but there's some statistics that show that the number of people living in the United States exceeds 34.2 million from other countries. And
mm-hmm.
also, that the one wonderful part, too, is there's an increased rate of inter-ethnic marriage,
mm-hmm.
which I think
oh,
is a wonderful,
point.
A wonderful point, because it tells how people can get along with differences. Because diversity is a strength, and we want to look at the multiple and intersecting realities that families experience in their life, and we don't want just, hey, race is an assumption that applied to anyone occupying that category, because each person has their own values and goals and desires, so we want to understand others as well as our own perspectives and work together to build positive, creative intersections, We want to appreciate individual differences and cultural differences. And people, I love it when they preserve and value their own distinctive ethnic identity, but they work together toward social equality and respectful recognition of diverse groups in our society. We want to empower all people. I'll tell you something funny, because people get creative in many ways, don't they, Danita? But the thing is, the first day, even in college, I always brought M&Ms and had them pick out four different colors, red, yellow, black, you know. And I said, okay, put them in your mouth, chew them, swallow them. Oh, aren't they all wonderful? And even at the end of classes, I have them get up and hook their arms together and look at each other and see all the wonderful differences, and then played a little song that they could move around in the circle of love. And I'd say, okay, in the circle of love, in the circle of peace, I feel our unity, love, sweet security. And they all did that for about 5 minutes. And it
that's
really
wonderful.
Helped. Because we want to, I mean, don't mean to interrupt you, but we want to help students develop more respective, positive attitudes toward other cultures and facilitate individuals from all cultures doing well in school as well as life, empower all.
Yes.
Because differences offer special alternatives. And
absolutely.
I really want them to learn about themselves and others and highlight new special intersections, but what good possibilities. I call it the wonder of differences. And again, I'll say if there's different nodes and they all come together in different positive ways, we'd have a beautiful symphony. What if there was just one right note? Ooh, we'd have the most boring symphony in the universe, wouldn't we? All act as key players in generating and implementing solutions and learn about some of the differences and put the differences together and show that diversity is a strength. And we all want to build values that respect the family of life.
Yes.
And
well, we have
sure
a question.
You want to,
we have a question for you, okay?
First
off, I wanted to break down the, clarify the example you gave of M&M candies and make sure that our listeners are aware that what you're talking about is that the foundation of M&M candies, the basics, is that it's chocolate, and that even though colors of chocolate, it melts into the same. And I always say that even about ice cream, you know, that
that's wonderful. That's a wonderful point, because what's my favorite drink and candy in the whole universe? Chocolate. I even drink hot chocolate in the summer.
Yes.
And go ahead.
The question is with all of what you were saying about the work that you've been doing in cultural diversity and so many other fine people out there, professionals and lay professionals in churches and different groups, we still have this issue of racism.
Yeah,
and
sadly.
I'd like in your professional history and your background to dig deep into your soul as a white American woman yourself and tell us what do you think is the reason why we can't seem to eradicate or eliminate racism, period? What
we
do you think is...
We can't force it, because some people, you know, we can't say, please don't do that anymore, change. But we can work very deeply are getting people to understand the larger picture and its meaning in our personal lives. We don't want to downplay the importance of social world, because we're always influenced by society, and we want to discover the truth so we can choose to make changes. And Like, that's why I always lectured quite a bit on culturally adaptive therapy, because in some cultures, family is very important over individuality, and they could feel a deep depression if they lost a member of the family, and it doesn't mean that they're weak or they're not a strong individual. We want to respect and understand. And I'll tell you something funny, and that is, in our culture, if we want to understand the values, the objects, the rituals, the technology, like the computer that touch us every day, we all want to get a deeper knowledge of that. Like, we focus too much in our culture on individual achievement and economic success. And then some people that have immigrated here feel that they don't measure up. Why do you think that we have anorexia and bulimia now, even among other cultures? Because there's an increased pressure to be one right form. And so we want to all see the connection between personal feelings and thoughts and behaviors and a larger society. We want to understand the larger picture and its meaning in our personal lives, and don't downplay the importance of different social worlds, but discover truths about human lives. Because human beings are not just physical or psychological. We're very much influenced by the sociological.
Yes, and I'd like
people to understand that. And I'll tell you one funny thing. I lived in Brazil for 2 years earning money for graduate school. And I learned a lot there because they were like Mexico. They were a wonderfully culturally diverse society, which we can be very proud and happy that we're now having occur here. And so I learned a lot about how all the differences could get along together in many positive ways. But one funny thing, at the time, they don't eat their dinner till 10:30 at night. See, everyone has differences in their cultures. And so I was only about 110 pounds, and they had bikinis there before the United States. And I bought one, and I wore it to Copacabana Beach. And all the people joked. They weren't mean. They called me Flaca, Flaca. And I didn't know what it meant at first till I looked around, and I know the next day I found out in the consulate general that it means skinny mini. And I laughed, knowing that the United States had traditionally put too much emphasis on one right shape and form, where there they liked all the women in the bikinis 200 to 300 pounds. And so I wore a big shirt over my bikini from then on. But we want to respect the differences,
not over-emphasize. And it teaches us about the diversity and the differences in different cultures. But the emphasis of the show today is that we need to bring people into understanding more about healing from the stress of racism. And I need to take a few moments after I introduce the other callers, and the other callers that are on our switchboard is lighting up.
Yes, you go ahead. And I just wanted to say one last thing, that people can immerse themselves in other cultures by attending, you know, events or exhibits or reading or going to restaurants, you know that, or visiting other cultures, and then try to understand the wonder of differences. So you can have these other people all contribute, but last but not least, the essence of being human is very much the same for all of us. And they vary in ways they view the world and human behavior, different cultures, but don't judge or view through ethnocentric lenses. Gain insight into the multiplicity of patterns of thinking and feeling and behaving, and see ethnic diversity as a strength, and work towards understanding, acknowledging, and appreciating ethnic diversity. We want to all work together toward a wonderful pluralistic society. so you can get the wisdom from your other speakers.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Okay.
That's a good, very good, very good point. And we'll welcome other speakers online and see if there's any questions or comments that they have. I'll do the best I can to get to everyone with the time that we have. Hello,
you're a pioneer of life, so you give yourself a clap on the back and have a wonderful discussion.
Well, I want you to stay online, please, because there's going to be questions that will be directed with you also. So
okay,
please,
I will.
Fine. Okay, we have a 363 number. Good morning.
Yes.
I wonder if there are two telephone numbers, 363, but this is Consuelo Astete, and it's a beautiful discussion, and we are very inspired by what Dr. Beverly Johnson is exposing.
Thank you. Now, you have do you have anything to say about the healing from the stress of racism? Do you feel that it exists in this country more than any other country, or do you feel that we have come a long way in this country to show an example?
We have certainly come a long way, and it is true that the United States is the leading country in the world as far as healing racism. And as you mentioned, you know, just looking at movies 30, 40 years ago and looking at movies today, also in the news, and we see so many outstanding personalities from different races that are leaders in different fields, medicine, journalism, politics. So we have definitely come a long ways. And we can just remember what it was like when we were growing up, you know, 15, 16 years old. It was a different world here in the United
mm-hmm.
States as far as race. And I have experienced that coming from South America when I was very young. I remember the differences. So we have come a long ways, and we're on the way to becoming even more aware of all these differences.
And Professor Steffi, in your travels in the world, you have also come across people of different skin colors. And the darker the skin color, the more you have seen the discrimination, I'm sure, even here in America, as an educator yourself. Is that true?
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm. And what do you feel is the number one thing that we need to do to eliminate racism?
Well, I always believe that we can do, on an individual basis, we can do so much just in our surroundings with the people that we interact every day. And also Dr. Beverly Johnson suggested, to try to know people from different cultures. I think it's just such a blessing, and like you said, the wonder of difference is that we have access to different people from the world in here in the United States, in Phoenix, in Arizona. We don't have to travel all over the world just to learn about other cultures. So
mm-hmm.
attend events, try to know other people. That is a beginning step.
Yes, to know them, to understand them, to actually respect differences. That's very important, to respect the cultural differences. I think that one of the things that Dr. Johnson was focusing on is the fact that there is diversity in each race, in each ethnicity. And so as in the Latino culture, we have people from different places, and as she noted what happened to her in Brazil, and the differences of the way people perceive things, the way they look at things, is different than other Latino cultures. And it's the same thing. I think what happens with African Americans, especially in this country, is that we are not respected as the diverse. And even within our own race, that there are many that assume that all African Americans think the same way and share the same culture. And that is not necessarily true. There are different belief systems and values within the African-American culture as there are in the Latino-American culture. And so I agree with you that one of the first steps that we do need to do is start respecting the differences in people. But I have something else I wanted to share with you, and that is that love, that, and I know that a lot of people don't like to use that word love because it brings up a lot of different connotations, different meanings for people. But I'll tell you something. I think that it is the key. Start loving ourselves. That people who are truly prejudiced are not loving themselves and are in fear of differences with other people. And that is one of the major reasons that we have all of these difficulties, and I'm so sorry for that. And
yes,
I do want to...
she's right. I'm going to interrupt her a minute and say she's making the important point that we want to emphasize and love and appreciate individual differences and have the people preserve and value certain aspects of their distinctive ethnic identity, yet work together towards social equality and respectful recognition of diverse groups in our society. We want positive. Okay. We want to empower all and see differences as offering special alternatives. And we want everyone to do well in school as well as in life and learn about themselves and others and highlight new intersections and possibilities and retain ethnic integrity but promote differences.
Absolutely.
So she'll tell you how.
I love the points that we're bringing out here, the factor that thank you so much, Dr. Johnson, for emphasizing the fact that especially in this country, we have moved into inter-ethnic marriage. We have interracial marriage, and it's so wonderful that now some of the sponsors, some of the companies out there are actually trying to put out commercials that are showing mixed couples. And it's so wonderful because as they do that, and mixed children, as they do that, we become less sensitive to the racist issues that are out there and start embracing the fact that love exists across the lines.
Right.
And that's important that we keep that in mind. I think we lost that we're in fear or in danger of losing that when we look at what happened with the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case, people focusing so much on the racist component of that instead of the factor that this man who shot this young man and all of the other young men out there and women who have been shot. We cannot forget that this is an ongoing issue with gangs and the whole bit. There are a lot of children that have been unfortunately terminated off this planet because of race and the after effects of race, which is poverty and unemployment. And we can't forget that love becomes the foundation of our healing from the stress of it. And for a moment,
we can really become the United States because we can understand and value the differences and become united to work to improve the life conditions for all.
I want to, before we leave and get another caller online, I want to make sure that I give a lot of kudos, a lot of applause to Dr. Alex Pirtis, because he has, from the American Psychological Association, he has done a tremendous work in discussing the stress of racism, and I alluded to that earlier in the introduction, and I need to really encourage others, especially teachers and counselors out there, to look at the fact that there are perceived racism definitely can cause mental health symptoms. And those mental health symptoms, believe it or not, come out as anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And I thought was real important because when we look at hypertension, this just as an example, the rate of hypertension among African American group, and many of the students that we deal with, because we deal with adult learners at White Apple Institute. Racism and things that have been unfortunately hurt them and traumatized them in their life, okay?
Yes.
And, you know, the thing is that if we can't ignore that the distress that's placed on people from a mental health perspective, from their perception of racism, and not just the perception, the reality of racism, okay, causing hypertension, even PTSD, okay, post-traumatic stress disorder, okay, the things definitely impact the performance of these students at work and school. And so this is one of the things that we try to address at White Apple Institute when we come across a student, an adult learner, who is saying to us, well, it's hard for me to go to school because I know that I've had white professors who have put me down, who have not accepted me, especially if they have a disability on top of the color of their skin. Now, this is something that is out there. And so if for a moment, if we can address that, anyone that's online right now, I'm opening up the line because of time sake. I'm going to open up the line and ask people to come on. I have a 290 number. So hold on, Dr. Johnson, before we elaborate on that. 290.
Take your time and do what you want to create a level of self-fulfillment for each individual of a particular culture.
Thank you. 290, are you there? You have a 480-290 number. Please come online. Okay. All right, how about the 200-200 number? Okay, if you have anything to say, you're on open mic right now. You're inside of the discussion, so please feel free to come on board and make a comment. Okay, this is Radio Talk Show, and we definitely want your input, and especially if you are a veteran, okay, and coming online with us this morning. Okay?
Yes.
The 290 number. Oh, good morning.
Dr. Applewhite, this is Jim Richardson. I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Oh, yes, thank you.
This is the first time I have listened in to your program. I would like to first off congratulate you for a beautiful job that you're doing with disabled veterans.
Thank you.
You were talking about love, you know. I would like to add something to that, if I may.
Yes.
When you love someone, you know, you're so much more eager to forgive. And I believe that forgiveness is the truth that will set you free. And in our society, we have a very diverse society that we live in. It's so important that we try to understand the other person's belief system and their culture. And it's so important that we learn to forgive each other. You know, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we always say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Mm.
And I believe that if we can learn, you know, this country has come a long, long way as far as what's transpired.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're going to continue to make progress if we keep an open mind, an open heart, and we let love abound in our society. And thank you so much for letting me say a few words.
Well, we appreciate that you brought out the term forgiveness, because that's certainly a very important part of love in today's world, and not just in the United States, but I think that we have done a lot in the USA to promote love, and I think that forgiveness is another key word or key concept that we need to look at. So I appreciate you bringing it out, because what I do see in this discussion on healing from the stress of racism, that with everything that's come out with the Trayvon Martin trial and the other trials, I mean, you can go back into the numerous trials that have happened, but I'm focusing on that right now because that's in the media and facing us left and right every time you turn around and look. And we need to understand that his parents have even promoted this. Forgiveness, okay? And you brought that term out. Thank you so much, Mr. Richardson, for bringing that out to us and reminding us that forgiveness is a very key part in working towards healing from the stress of racism. And in addition to that, that forgiveness has to be for the past. And that's why PTSD, I mentioned that, because PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. And that means that it's after a trauma has happened. That's what people are suffering from when we talk about our veterans. And thank you for serving, sir, for serving our country. When we talk about veterans and post-traumatic stress disorder, we're talking about things that have happened and after they happen that they're still dealing with. And that is the same thing that African-Americans and other minorities have been dealing with, is that racism has happened in the past. It's historical. It's documented. It's there. However, we have to start moving forward, opening up our eyes and our hearts to forgive the issues that are going on now and the issues that have happened in the past. Not forget, not eradicate and say that they're not there and they don't exist. I'm not putting that out there at all. I'm saying that we have to learn from our past, and I hope that those of you out there will agree with me. We have a 314 number on. I would like to bring you on, Dr. Applewhite speaking. How are you? This is a student-to-teacher radio.
Fine. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good, sir. Are you a veteran yourself?
No, I'm not a veteran. I came up in the Vietnam area. I refused to go. I went someplace, but I had something else to do.
Yes, sir.
But I wanted to make a comment. This thing, racism had nothing to do with love and hate.
Mm-hmm.
And today it has evolved into a whole new social paradigm. Racism was an economic issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that experienced racism in the 50s and 60s, if they were to come back today and present it with this new evolved definition of racism, they wouldn't even recognize it.
Mm.
The things that y'all, I hear people calling racism today, has to do with prejudice, has to do with discrimination. And, you know, prejudice and discrimination, as long as you don't violate people's rights, civil rights and constitutional rights, there's nothing wrong with those.
Yeah, we all have prejudices, don't we?
Absolutely. Animals have prejudice. You never see squirrels take nuts to the pigeon nest.
Very good. Are you
So I don't know.
Are you an self?
Pardon me?
Are you an educator or a counselor? Or what's your background?
Oh, yes. I teach. I talk to children in classrooms, and I teach them that they're being misled on what racism is. It had nothing to do with get along.
Yes.
If people have a right to associate and disassociate with whomever they want. The biggest problem
I see.
Pardon me?
I have to agree with you, sir. What is your name, if you don't mind?
My name is Pianchi.
Okay, and I want to thank you very much for bringing this to the front, because that is something that we need to consider. I don't know if you're familiar with the Willie Lynch document.
Well, yeah, I'm familiar with the Willie Lynch letter. But let me ask you a question. Why come we as black people don't address our economic problems
rather than
this racism? You know, Jews was never told to forgive the Nazis. They hunted them down. They had Nuremberg trials, and they continue to do so today.
Yes.
So why should blacks forget about their past? I don't think they should forget about their past. They should, you know, we talk about reparations, when you're begging and you come in for reparations from a point of weakness, nobody's going to give it to you. You have to strengthen yourself, especially in this country, along the lines of economic and wealth. Then you can demand.
Yes. I have to agree with you on that. Definitely.
And I want to say one thing is that I think it's very important. One project my students had was to design a program of how they would teach cultural diversity to the elementary children, because I think that would be a wonderful time and place to decrease feelings of social isolation and understand and reduce distressful feelings and of injustice or deprivation or inadequacy. And so I think that he makes a very good point that way.
Yes, children should be taught to respect other human beings.
Yes.
That's the main thing, respect them for their differences and respect them for their ideologies. So,
the wonder of differences.
Because blacks live in an all-black community or they go to all-black school, that don't make them any less something. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what they choose. Yeah. So that's need to be considered.
Go ahead. Say that again, sir.
I said that needs to be considered. Just because blacks stay in an all-black community or have their children attend all-black school district, that don't mean that there are any less different. The people in those communities should work hard and diligently to make them the best that they possibly can be.
Yes, absolutely. And if we continue to focus on, as you were saying, we continue to focus on other than economics, because economics is a very, very big point, and I don't think anyone is ignoring that. I think that they're bringing that out and talking about the statistics of underemployment and unemployment and poverty. But I think
and businesses. Blacks need to have their own businesses, especially in their own community, so that they can control those dollars, where they can build schools, they can have facilities for their children, they can provide scholarships for the kids to go to school, and so on and so on and so on. You don't have to beg.
Yes. And I think that President Obama, in his presence as an African-American president and someone who respects the differences, the cultural differences of everyone, it definitely appears that he does, that we are moving in a direction where we are healing not only from the stress of racism, but we are beginning to open up discussions about economics. And I think that that's a very good point. But I think we need to focus more on that. I definitely feel that it's important for you and other people like you to emphasize that more, because that
is and I think that we need to stop blaming everything on racism and stop debasing whites. You know, I live in a community, and whites moved out a long time ago. I live in a community with Asians, Mideasterners, and whites are not causing the problems in our community. You know, much of the problems in our community is caused by the people that live in that community. And as I said before, economics play a big, big portion, because the majority population that don't control that economy through your businesses and services and so on and so on, you have nothing to leave to your children to build off of, and then that's when the problems start.
That's a very good point, and it's hard to go back to the issues of the past and address them, because they are gone. They are gone. The past is gone, and even though we can't forget it, there's no way we can forget it, but we have to move on, and we have to look at where we are now and derive something positive about where we've come from and where we are now and where we can move forward to. And if we don't start doing that, and we're constantly living in the past and what's happened in the past, we're not teaching our children to move forward. We can't even open up their minds to economics or respecting the differences of different cultures. Do you agree?
Well, you know, I spent a lot of time in West Africa and in Ghana, where they have a term called Sankofa. Sankofa said, look at what you used to do in the past and gain and learn from it so that you can use that to take you into the future. The things that happened to us 5 minutes ago, 5 days ago, or 5 months ago would determine what would happen 5 minutes from now, 5 days from now, and 5 months from now. So the past is a very, very important aspect of where you are today and also where you have yet to go.
Yeah, he makes such a good point that I can't help but interrupt you again. But he makes the point that all community members can unify to improve the life conditions of all. and because they've had some very bad times, et cetera, and because there were a group of younger college students one time who didn't want to listen to this topic. It's as if they didn't want to look at it and think about it. And if we don't open our eyes and look at it, so I won't ruin your program. But
Oh, no, you could never do that. You could never do that. I think that everything that you've shared today is so very, very important.
Okay, but this is the last terrible one, and that is that I passed out clay to the young teenagers and so they could really understand. And I said, put your hand in the crap and move it all about. Smell its aroma, feel its sensation, and know in all truth it will never go away. Look at it, examine it, now turn right around and fertilize today. Onward, life nurturers. And their eyes all opened and they smiled and they all put in suggestions for improving things. So you never know what's going to work, where we could value the wonder of differences and all unify to improve the life conditions of all.
Yes, that should get you a standing ovation. Thank you very much.
He's amazed he understands.
Line is, we are human. And that is the absolute issue here, is that I think that all of us are recognizing that we are all human. And,
yes,
and being, we are part of the human race, and we certainly appreciate all the comments that have come up this morning and on our show, and it's just so important that we recognize the oneness of humanity, and that we, in all of our discussions about how to eradicate or get rid of racism, that, and it's a very real discussion that we all must have, that we need to change our attitudes and our belief systems about what has happened in the past, look towards forgiveness. But we need to stay focused on the oneness of humanity. I think that that is what we miss in the conversations and all of the political hype that's out there when people are on the television screen and screaming about the racism that exists in this country. That, and again, Dr. Johnson and our listeners out there, that we become more global in our thinking and recognize the beauty that it is to live in this country, to live in the United States of America, and that many times the reason why, I have a student coming in right now from West Africa, and many reasons why people are trying to get here to America, and as you mentioned, over 32 million immigrants, is because in this country we have made such... To try to look at them as human beings. Yeah. But we still have a
diversity is a strength. It can be a strength. And look at the multiple and intersecting realities that people experience in their lives. And acknowledge and build values that respect the family of life. We want to acknowledge our own values and understand others as well as our own perspectives, and work together to build positive, creative intersections.
Yes.
And empower all.
I hate to put out a plug for M&M without them donating money to the student-to-teacher radio show at the White Apple Institute. However, I just can't ignore how important that example you gave us was about the M&M candies. And I encourage all of us to look at that, whether you use M&Ms or any other... and really tell them about how delicious everything is, no matter what color it is, and enjoy oneness.
Are you
humanity.
All breathing? Is your heart beating? We're all human beings. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, we have to close our show now. I just want to say much love and peace, and thank you to all of you for joining us as we close with some very, very quiet.
Hallelujah.